Thanks, Anika. All right. Well, what are we to make of all this? All scripture is God-breathed, isn't it? Useful for teaching. And so we don't want to skip parts. So we're in our series on Leviticus. Who's enjoying Leviticus? You're loving it, aren't you? Of course you are. Yeah, good on you. Yeah, well, leaving a shout out. Well done. And so we called this series, just a reminder, Savior in the Shadows. So we're talking about this Leviticus, this law that was given at Mount Sinai to Moses and to the people. And we called this series Savior in the Shadows because all through Leviticus we see Jesus. Oop, if we go back one. This is Hebrews 10:1. The law is only a shadow of the good things are coming, not the realities themselves. And so for this reason it can never... it's not the same as Jesus. So it's only a shadow of the good things. So all we're learning in Leviticus was just a little glimpse of what Jesus was going to do. And then the second one we also see in Hebrews 8:5-6. And this is talking about the priests, and we're talking about priests today. So this is really central to what we're talking about. The priests, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. That's why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you in the mountain. So everything the priest was doing was a shadow of the spiritual realities that we have in Jesus Christ. So everyone follows so far, yes? We kicked off, we've done chapters 1-7, and we looked at those different feasts and sacrifices they have there. We did the burnt offering the first week where it's all burnt up as this sacrifice, and you put your hand on the head of the animal saying, this animal is dying in my place. And we talked obviously how that represents Jesus. And we talked last week that one of the sacrifices, one of the offerings that they had to do was a thanksgiving offering. And we talked last week about that attitude of gratitude, making sure we're a thankful people. That was part of God's instruction in the law. And it's all through the Bible is examples of and instructions to be thankful, be grateful to God. And I said last week, thankfulness helps you find your joy. When you have that thankful attitude, it helps you have a joyful spirit. And we need to not let the things that we don't have rob us from being thankful for what we do have. Remember that? So not just going, here's what I don't have, and allowing that to steal from us the joy of being thankful for what we do have. And we talked about thankfulness last week. Well, now we're getting into the next sort of big section in Leviticus, chapters 8 to 10. And chapters 8 to 10 are focused on the start of the priests, because part of the law was the priests, which we're going to get into today. And chapters 8 to 10 focuses on the priest. You've got chapter 8, which talks about for the priests themselves getting ordained. So all the things they had to do, and we read part of that before. Here's what you've got to do to go and set these priests aside, chapter 8, and anoint them with oil, get them all dressed up in the right clothing that God had instructed them with, all these things. And then chapter 9, they begin their ministry at the tabernacle of doing their ministry. And then chapter 10, we have this very sad incident where two of Aaron's sons, and Aaron's kind of the lead of all the priests, the high priest, the head of all the priests, and his family are priests, and two of his sons are killed because they don't follow God's instructions. And we see that sad example. We're going to get to that briefly today as well. Now, all of this, the priest was to mediate between people and God, okay? So people are there and there's God, and the priest was to mediate. We talked the other week about that distance, the perfect and the holy God and the imperfect and the broken people. How was God going to deal with this? Well, ultimately, he dealt with it in Jesus Christ on the cross, and we'll get there. But as to help us understand what Jesus did, and at the start he gave the law and he gave these sacrifices and he gave the priest to try and bridge that gap between people and God. And so the people went through the priests and the priests went to God, and that's how it worked. And so God, in his grace, gave them this, because otherwise they had no way of being in relationship with him, and he gave the law and he gave the priests who had to follow these strict instructions. Today we're going to have a bit of a think about these priests and what it might mean for us. We're going to pray and then we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for our Bibles. Thank you for the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament. Thank you that we can learn from it, we can grow from it, we can be inspired by it. And we pray this morning that you might help us to recognize who we are in Christ, and to go and live that out in a mighty and powerful way, seeing lives changed all around us as you use us by the power of your Spirit. You use your church to change lives around us, Lord. Would you do that in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Levites. This to me is the kind of the story of the priests. They had a privileged position, a special position. They were set apart by God in this special position where on behalf of the people, they got to encounter the living God and go and mediate with the people. They had a very privileged and important and special position, but they also had an awesome responsibility. I mean, that's a big responsibility. We don't know exactly how many people at this stage, maybe a million people. There's a lot of different estimates, but maybe a million people in the nation. And these priests are responsible for making sure their life and their worship is in line with what God wants and making sure they get the sacrifices right so that people are forgiven. And so they had a huge responsibility and a very privileged, important position. Now, in Australia, we don't take kindly to people that don't show humility. We don't like people that don't understand the privileged position they're in, do we? We don't like that as Aussies. We're the tall poppy syndrome. We bring people down. We don't want people, you know, people that don't understand the privileged position they're in. Maybe this guy. You know, I'm not out to bag people, but there's something about this guy that just irks Australians, doesn't it? Because he just doesn't seem to realise the privileged position that he's in, and he certainly doesn't seem to take the awesome responsibility that he has with a nation behind him. And he's got a bit of a friend too, doesn't he? Sorry to prick on the... And this is probably a bad day. I see Keena's up in the back row, our tennis coach of the whole of Kays Beach, you know. So sorry, Keena, to dish on the tennis players. Ash Barty's awesome. We like her. Yeah, okay, all right. They do have a bad attitude, don't they, Keena? They do, okay. So Keena's with me, so it's okay. Our tennis coach is on board, so that's all right. But what Australians don't like is they just don't take their privileged position that they've got and that awesome responsibility properly, do they? I mean, Bernard Tomic, if you don't know him, at Wimbledon this year, just for turning up in round one and losing, he got $80,000, right? Just for turning up and losing the first round, $80,000. But they actually took his money off him this year because they said, you didn't even try. And they said, he didn't take his responsibility. You had a responsibility. You're in this privileged position to come and play at Wimbledon. And you didn't even take it. You didn't even take that responsibility seriously. And so they've actually fined him, and he's challenging it, but they've taken that match payment off him and said, you're not getting paid. And a lot of Australians gone, good, because he said he's not really interested in tennis, even though he's got an amazing skill and ability. And Australians don't take kindly, do that, do we? We don't like that idea that someone wouldn't take their responsibility in their privileged position right. Well, the priests, they had this. They had a privileged position and an awesome responsibility. I mean, God gave this plan for worship and sacrifice. And, you know, to understand the gap and the depth of our sin, God brought in the law and the sacrifice and the killing of lots of animals to try and help people comprehend that this is the perfect holy God and you're just imperfect people that are broken. How are you going to go and encounter this God? And so he brought all this in, and you're not just going to walk up to God and say, hey, how you going, God? Yep, you better accept me. You know, it's not going to work. He's almighty, all powerful. He's the king of all the universe. And so there was this important and this really serious process that they went through. And we read some of it where they've got to get all the right clothing, right? And all the right things and anointed with oil. And chapter 8 in your Bible talks about this. There's a whole lot of different clothes, and they had a sash and they had a turban. You can see the picture there and the special plate there. And they had all the tribes of Israel on there. And they had all this special clothing that God had laid out. And in fact, if you go to Exodus, God said he wanted it to be glorious and beautiful, the clothes. It was going to show the glory of God. They wanted this glorious and beautiful clothing. It was something taking really seriously that this person was going to mediate between a person and the living God. And so it was very serious. And so God gave all this ritual and all this clothing. And you knew who these priests were. You could see them. I mean, we're not so big on different clothing, are we, today? It's a bit more relaxed. I can wear my jeans and my shoes. But even so, you go to a wedding, don't you? And you know who the bride is, don't you, normally? If you look at a wedding photo, you can see they're dressed special. And you would know who the priests were. They were set out, there's the priest in their special clothing, because they had an important task. This wasn't just taken lightly. You were going to encounter the living God on behalf of the people. And so you better take this seriously. And so that whole process of anointing with oil, symbolizing the blessing and the presence of God, and we could go to James where it talks about still using that oil as a symbol of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And he's anointed with oil, gets all the clothing right. And then in chapter 9, he starts his duties. And if you have a look in your Bibles in chapter 9, I want to have a look at verses 7 and 8 first of all. Because as the priest starts his duties, he can't just go and do a sacrifice for the people. If you've got your Bibles, chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering to purify yourself and the people. Then present the offerings of the people to purify them, making them right with the Lord, just as he has commanded." Verse 8. So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. So what did the priests have to do before they went and did the sacrifice of the people? They had to do what? Go and do a sacrifice for themselves. Because even here, this wasn't God saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the really perfect people and I'm going to get them to be the priests, and then all you broken people, you can go to those perfect people. In fact, Aaron, the head of the priests, he has got a bit of a dodgy background in some ways. Some of you might know this story. Moses is up the mountain, and he's talking with God up the mountain, and he's taking too long. And they're getting frustrated and impatient and bored. And so Aaron comes up with this great idea. While Moses is up the mountain, we're going to make a golden calf to worship because Moses isn't here. And so he gathers all the jewelry and all the gold and he makes this golden calf to work, this idol to worship. What's the Ten Commandments? Have no idols before me. Have no other gods. So there's Moses getting all the law from God up the mountain, the Ten Commandments from God, all this important stuff. And they're down the mountain going, oh, come on, Moses. Oh, well, let's make an idol. And even worse, when Moses comes down, this is what Aaron says. He says, oh, I gathered all the gold and I threw it in the fire and out came a calf. He said, well, it was a miracle. I chucked the gold in and boom, there was a golden calf, which is a complete lie because he made it himself. And because of that, 3,000 people were killed. 3,000 people because of his and the people's sinful action. So we're not talking about perfection of people here, are we? We're talking about, here's the priesthood, and in God's grace, he's anointed and blessed, and certainly I'm glad as a pastor, because this isn't, well, I'm going to get perfect Pastor Matt. No, he's going to get broken Pastor Matt, and he's going to say, I'm going to bless and anoint you to do this role, not because you're perfect, but because I've called you and gifted you to do this. And so in God's grace, he calls Aaron and his family to be priests. We see why, verse 6, if you have your Bibles, of chapter 9. And Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. So that God will come close and be with you. So that God is going to be with his people. And then in verse 23, we see that's what happens. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. So all this mediation, having the priest, it was so that God's presence would be with the people. Because they were sinful people, they needed a way that the perfect God would be with them and before them. And that's how he did this, through the priesthood and the worship. And so he sets up the process. So you with me so far? Chapter 8, the priests are anointed and said they're sort of set aside as these special people. Chapter 9, they start their ministry. They sacrifice for their own sins. And then they start their ministry for the people. And God's presence is with them. And so you think everything's going really well, right? Well, then we get to chapter 10. And it all falls apart with Nadab and Abihu. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going with, all right? Now, these are two of Aaron's sons. We read this in Leviticus 10. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkled incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he had commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. And then if we go on, I have in my Bible here, verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will display my holiness through those who come near me. I will display my glory before all people. And Aaron was silent. That's verse 3. So here, we've just had this great start. We've got the priest. We've got him set up. And then two of Aaron's sons. Now, no one knows exactly what this disobedient fire exactly they got wrong. There's a lot of theories what they got wrong. But all we know is they disobeyed God. God had given them instructions, right? This is how you do the worship in the temple. And they'd gone and done their own thing. Lucky we're not like that. We don't like to do our own thing, do we? We just follow God all the time. Well, that's just the human condition, isn't it? We love to go and do our own thing. When God says, my way is the way that leads to life, the other way is the way that leads to death. And all around us, people are going their own way, and it's the way that leads to death and not the way that leads to life. And here, God was really just drawing a line in the sand and saying, you've got to take this seriously. You've got to realize the depth of your sin. You've got to realize how perfect I am, how far apart you are without the perfect sacrifice. And so we have this sad story here where these people went to the unapproachable God and God gave them a way to approach him. And they did it their own way instead of doing it God's way, and God made a real example of them. So this is the start of the priesthood, right? And at this point, maybe you're going, well, this sounds a bit scary. Who wants to be burned up by fire? If you sing out a tune this morning, do your worship wrong, you're in trouble, you know. Or maybe on the other hand, you're going, well, this is okay. This is for the priests. So this is for Pastor Matt. And so he better get his act together, or he's in a bit of trouble. He better get his jeans off and get his good clothes on. I haven't got my full sash, but as a symbol today, I've got my purple. Does that look a bit better? My purple robe, and they had a sash of purple and scarlet and gold, much better than this. This is my symbol. And maybe you think, well, Pastor Matt better be careful when he's organizing church, because if he doesn't get it right, he's the mediator between us and God. And, well, if Pastor Matt doesn't get it wrong, so maybe you better start praying for me that I don't get burnt by fire. And maybe when I'm out there in the world, because I've got to go out there and tell everyone about Jesus and show them what God is like. And so maybe you can be at home and praying that Pastor Matt does a good job as the priest. And don't let him get consumed by fire. And I've got some news for you. Some things have changed. Some things have changed. Jesus came. And you know how those priests had to give their sacrifice first for their sins because they were imperfect, and then for the people? Jesus came as the perfect one, and he didn't have to give a sacrifice for himself. Jesus came as the perfect one, the Son of God, and he came as the perfect sacrifice, and the sacrifice that only had to be you, how many times did it have to be done? Once. Not follow all these rules and regulations every year, get it right and come back. One time only show where Jesus died once, and he became the high priest. And so now, here's the thing. This isn't Pastor Matt the priest. This is you. Have a look at this in 1 Peter. You, this is talking to the whole church, as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy, what is it? Wow. Ooh, now there's some things that are changing, aren't they? We've gone from learning about these priests that have this privileged position of mediating with God. They have this awesome responsibility. And now suddenly, every Christian is a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Revelation 1:6, just to make sure I'm not plucking one verse out of this Bible and picking it. Kings and priests. He has made us a kingdom of priests. So here we are. It's a little bit different now, if I can get to that next one. I don't know if you've seen the movie Coming to America, and the main character there is a prince from another country, and he comes to America to find a bride, but instead of coming in all his royalty and all this, he comes as just an ordinary person, and he actually ends up working in a fast food restaurant, and he has this powerful position, but nobody knows it, and nobody can see it, and he lives as a person working in, well, it's McDonald's, but it's not McDonald's. You have to watch the movie to see how that pans out. But he's living in this world, not in the position he has. So he's not living in that position. And people around him don't know the privileged position. People around him don't know the powerful, privileged position that he's in because he's there hiding. Sometimes I wonder if the church is a bit like that. That the church doesn't realize the privileged, powerful position you're in as a child of God. You don't need a priest anymore. You're in this privileged position where we're all priests. Now, I believe in the gifts and calling of leadership in our church. I believe in that. But you don't need me to get you to God. Did you know that? I mean, hopefully I can inspire you, encourage you, help you, equip you. But you don't need me to get you to God. Amen? You are in a privileged position. All priests, all accepted through God. You have the privilege of walking into the throne room of Jesus Christ, standing before the living God. You know that? That in the heavenlies, you're not going, well, I'll stand back and I'll let Pastor Matt go in and have a chat with God. You have the privilege as a child of God to be able to stand here and go, I'm in the presence of the living God. Amen? This is you, child of God, safe, secure, not under judgment. The privileged position of a personal relationship with the living God of the entire universe. Sometimes we don't get a grip on that. You are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. Ephesians 1 captures a little bit of this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, to be blameless in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his God's grace that he lavished on us. Can I have a hallelujah? Come on. This is us. Here's a summary of that little passage. Let's read together. I am blessed, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. If only the church would walk in the light of who they are in Christ. If only we would walk in the power and the victory and knowing that we sing these songs and we come in and we sing, oh, our God is for us, who can be against us? Then we walk out the door and we don't believe it, church. We go out there and we think, oh, well, the world's against us and everything's going to crumble and no one's with me. We've got to believe what we're singing because you are priests, a kingdom of priests. You have that privileged position of a personal relationship with the living God. What was the song we're singing before? I am who we say I am. I am a child of. Man, we've got to remember. It's, you know, sometimes because we don't wear all the get up that the priests wear, maybe we forget. So I'm going to give you something today. Who's going to come and help me? These are four lovely people in the front. They're going to come and help me. Now, I misnumbered. We might run out today. But anyway, I'll make some more another week. You four come out here. Everyone's going to take your purple sash. I couldn't afford a full purple sash for everyone, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to tie this around your wrist, and the blokes are going to do it too. Okay, blokes? Because I know what will happen, they'll give it to their wife. So I want to see, so go and hand them out to everyone. Everyone's got to tie one of these around your wrist. Remember, the clothing the priest would wear would signify that they were in this privileged position where they would mediate and encounter the living God, and now the church is in the privileged, powerful, victorious position. As children of God, we are the ones that have direct access to the living God. It's just good news, isn't it? It's good news, isn't it? It's good news. I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven. We are a kingdom of priests. We have a privileged position. All right. I'm going to wait till some people get some of these before we move on a little bit. Your identity is in Christ. It's not in how many Facebook likes you get. It's not in how much money you've got. Your identity is tied to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. And if we can walk in the power and victory of this in the world, knowing who we are, and I want this to remind you, this is who you are, kingdom of priests. All right, we might not have quite enough of the back. I'm going to bring some more next week and hand them out. And when you get home, you can put in your Bible this week. And what I want you to do is keep that somewhere this week, and you just keep reminding yourself, who am I in Christ? I'm a child of God. I'm a priest. I have direct access to the throne room of the living God, okay? Now, here's the other part of it. We nearly finished handing some out there. Here we go. We got close. Sorry to those that missed out. I'll get next week some more. Here's the second part. Now, remember, the priests, they had a privileged position, didn't they? Remember that? A privileged position where they encountered the living God, and now you are in the even more privileged position because you're not going through a priest. You have direct access to the living God. You're a kingdom of priests. But who remembers the other part? They had a really privileged position, but also an awesome what? Responsibility. And so here's the thing now, and I'm great at shared, and it's not all on Pastor Matt, because You, the church, now also have an awesome responsibility. The responsibility that the priests had to encounter God doesn't lie on me anymore. And it can't lie on me because you have direct access to God. The responsibility of you to be like through a priest, to reflect the glory of God in our world, to go out there and show people what God is like. They were standing in the gap for people. They were mediating between broken people. Now the church is doing that, and you're in the world, and every time you're in the world, you're taking this awesome responsibility where you're a kingdom of priests, and you're showing people this is what God is like. And you've got this powerful responsibility now. And I'm here to cheer you on, to encourage you, to equip you, to pray for you, to help you, to challenge you. But you know what? I can't do what God's called you to do. Did you know that? I can't do it. I cannot do what God has called you to do. I can't have the conversations God's called you to have. I can't meet the people God's called you to meet. I can't support the mission things that He's called you to support. I'm going to cheer you on and help you, but you know what? You have the responsibility to go and reflect the glory of God every single day. And that's going to be the other reminder. When you think of that being a kingdom of priests, you're going to enjoy the privilege of that position, but you're also going to remember, wow, I want to reflect the glory of God. And the second thing, you got some responsibilities in worship. In the Old Testament, you came to the tabernacle and then the priest did all this stuff for you, right? You want to know who's in charge of your relationship with God now? You know who's in charge of it? Who do you think? You are. Again, I'm here to encourage you, to empower you, to help you, to pray for you and do everything I can. But don't sit there and go, well, Pastor Matt's message wasn't good enough this week, so I'm feeling distant from God, or oh, my accountability group didn't ring me up, so I didn't read my Bible this week. You know, it's time to grow up, isn't it? You have the responsibility for your... You have direct access to the living God. Don't start blaming anyone else for your weak spiritual life. You take ownership of your relationship with Jesus. Come and talk with me if you want help with that. I'd love to do some of that stuff where it's often we're just wrestling through problems, but when someone comes and wants to go, oh, I'd love to talk about how to my prayer life, Matt. How can you help me with that? But I'm not in charge of your relationship with Jesus anymore. I'm not a priest. Well, I am. We're all priests. I'm not the priest that you need to mediate between me and God. You're in charge of your relationship. Encourage one another, the Bible says. Help one another. Challenge one another. Do all those things. But you have the privilege of direct access to God, and now you've got the responsibility to be in charge of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Stop making excuses when it's not right. You know, when we get this kind of stuff right, and I know for some of you this isn't new, but when we get this right, it changes our attitude to life. I mean, when things come against us, when we face some real struggles and we forget who we are in Christ, that's when we're going to suffer a whole lot of things, aren't we, right? When we go into those battles and we stop for a moment, and I'm the same, I'm human, I don't get it right all the time. I have times where I have full of doubt and fear and I'm going, this isn't going to work out, God, you've forgotten. Don't you remember me, you know? And then I start to realize and I look at my sash here and I'm reminded I'm a priest, right? And I'm in direct relationship. I have access to the living God and He has promised He's with me and He's for me. And when my identity is not tied into my circumstances, when my identity is not tied to whether the money's going great, when my identity is, I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, yeah, right? It's exciting. Suddenly something stirs in our spirit, doesn't it? And so if you can get this right, if you can get this idea of who you are in Christ right, it's going to change your attitude to life. But if we're going to make an impact on the world out there in Swansea, we've got to get the responsibility right too, don't we? It's no good just standing and going, well, I know who I am in Christ. Woohoo, have a nice day. But if we can take what we know who we are in Jesus Christ and we can go out there into Swansea and help people see God and have an intimate relationship with God, we're going to change our city. Amen? We're going to change our city. If we can get these things, you know, it's... Yes, God's the one that does it. It's not about us doing it, but God works through His church. And where I'm seeing God move, it's where people are moving with God and they're following God's Spirit and they're listening to God. And so if we can get our identity in Christ right and then go and live it in the world, we're going to see our city change. I love the image, and I'll finish with this. One of my favorite images is the image of a curtain in the New Testament. And many of you will know how this pans out. You can read it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. I've got the verses from Mark. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice and died. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn into two pieces. The tear started at the top and tore all the way to the bottom. It's one of my favorite images in the Bible. And I love it because if you don't know how this worked, in the temple, there was this special place, the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And this was where the high priest, he was the only one allowed in there, right? One guy in the nation was allowed in here to go and encounter God in this special place. You know how many times he would go in there? Who knows? How many times? Once a year. So there's this God saying, look, do you realize there's this distance between God and people, this brokenness, because I'm perfect and you're not. And so once a year only, the high priest could go into this special little room behind this curtain and encounter the living God on behalf of the people. And that's not in the Bible, but historians write that they used to tie a rope to him, to his leg, in case he died while he was in there, because no one wanted to go in and get him if he died, if he did something wrong. And so, we don't take that as Bible. It's not in the Bible, but this historians say that tie a rope around his leg when he goes behind the curtain. Hey, Bill, you're all right in there? Bill. Okay, and they pull it, because he might get it wrong. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain? Ripped up. And I love how Mark clarifies it wasn't just a little fray down the bottom. How did it rip? From the thick part at the top. And God ripped that curtain open. And he said, no more human priests. He said, Jesus is the access to the living God, the Son of God. And now people walk into the presence of God. And he said, you are a kingdom of priests from now on. You have direct access to the living God. That in Jesus' death, that sacrifice, remember all through Leviticus, we've been talking sacrifice. They placed the hand on the head of the animal, and the animal was a symbol of dying in their place. And Jesus died in our place as the perfect sacrifice so that we're always forgiven. We're not going back every time and going, okay, if I do this and I do this, oh, what happens if I die and I haven't said... It's Jesus died for you once for all, and now you're a kingdom of priests. And I love that image. The curtain's ripped apart, and God says... direct access to the living God, a kingdom of priests. Amen? Amen. So this is us. You don't have to get dressed up, but I want you to take those things home if you've got them, just to remind you this week, you're a kingdom of priests, direct access to the living God, and remind you then to go and live that out. You've got an awesome responsibility to the world and to your own worship life. But here we are, we want to encourage each other. And the enemy's the father of lies. And he loves to speak against this stuff. If we can have the band up ready for our last song. The enemy loves to tell you that you're weak, that you're powerless, that you're forgotten. All of these things are the lies of the enemy. In Jesus Christ, you're a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. I am who you say I am. Amen. I'm a child of God. Let's remember that today. And celebrate that we now, there's nothing between us and God because Jesus Christ did it for us. Amen. Let's pray and then we're going to sing. And celebrate that we are the people of God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for your love and your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you that we are adopted and chosen and loved and forgiven and blessed. Thank you now that we're not wondering if we've done enough sacrifices to be accepted. We're standing in the power and victory of Jesus Christ. And we are in relationship through Jesus with the living God of the whole universe. Help us to remember that, Lord, every time we're feeling that doubt and fear and worry, every time we're thinking that the world's coming against us and we're forgotten, remind us, God, that we're a kingdom of priests. The temple curtain's been ripped in two and we are in relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. And the people said, amen.